We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
For the purpose of today's discussion, I think it's important to share a little bit of a fact about me. So most people in this room know me, and you've known me for years, most of you. But an interesting fact about me that you may or may not know is that I love sports. I love sports. I love to, those of you who have played fantasy football with me know that I love sports. I love to watch the NFL. I love to watch the NBA. I love to watch a good tennis match, especially if certain people are playing. Serena doesn't play anymore, but love to watch her tennis matches. I love to watch sports. Keep in mind, I have never played a sport, like an organized sport. I just love to watch sports. And I spent some time with that just over the years. Like, why do you like sports so much considering that you don't play them? And it's because what it really is I love competition. I really love a good, healthy competition. I love to see people like give it their all to win. I love to see people like push their body to the limit so that they can win on the field or on the court. I love to see like those buzzer beater games where it's like close and it's like who's gonna get that final point to like tip it over and win. Like I love that kind of competition. So that's why I love sports. But I also realize that it is not limited just to sports where I love competition. This, my Apple Watch, is one of my most favorite things that I own because you can't see it. You're probably too far away, but you see the rings on my Apple Watch, y'all who are Apple Watch users. That's why I love the Apple Watch. I love the rings because I love competition. And so throughout the day, I just compete with myself. And I'm like, okay, I set it for 30. I'm going to try to get to 35. The move goal set for 600. I'm going to try to hit 7. Like, I love, like, this competition with even myself. And it's so funny. I love this watch and competition so much that there was DeAndrea, one of our family members here. One of the first times I met her, I realized that she had an Apple Watch too, and we both used the fitness. And I was like, you want to compete? And she and she was like, sure. And then after the fact, I thought, that's probably not the best way to like introduce yourself to someone. Like, you want to compete? But she was gracious, and she competed with me. I think she won. But it was like, I really love competition. I love healthy competition so much to the point where I think I've passed it down to my kids because I will see them compete with each other sometimes, which is not so healthy, but they compete like in academics. They compete when it comes to their video games. Like, they are so competitive. I have one child, and this is going to make sense in a moment. I have one child who is so competitive that I said out loud into myself one day, dang, it's not that serious. Like, you getting so mad about this game, it's not that serious. Oh my gosh. And then my father in heaven's like, huh, I wonder where he got that from. It's like, oh, because I'm so competitive. Okay. So I like competition is what all that equals. So what's interesting is that my daughter plays volleyball. And Tina, your daughter plays volleyball. And if you are familiar with the sport of volleyball, it's very interesting because they volley the ball, like that's not interesting. But specifically, they do this very weird thing of having children officiate games. Like they have an official person who I'm sure they pay and they hire and they sit like in this, or they stand in this like thing and they call the game. But when it comes to keeping score, they have the student, the athlete, a child, keep the score. So like they sit at the score table and they keep the score and then they actually flip over the score, you know, so that we could, as the crowd can see the score. Now I said all this stuff about competition so y'all know how I'm feeling while I'm sitting at this volleyball game. I'm very competitive. So every now and then when these children – when these children are keeping score, they like lose focus. Like, I don't know if they start thinking about like the next TikTok dance they're gonna do, or if they start thinking about like what they're gonna have for lunch or for dinner, but they forget to add the point. Like, the game is going on and they have like gotten dazed, distracted, focused on something else, and they don't add the point. I said I was competitive, right? So I sit there and I'm like, and so I and other parents, we're gracious. We give them like a second or so, right, to realize that they didn't add the point. But then after that second passes, we have to gently, very gently and graciously, gently yell, "Add the point!" Gently. And when they don't do it initially to us, you know, gently yelling at the point, then we have to more gently yell, "At the point! The point! At the point!" So you, and these are children. So you have to remind yourself, this is a child, but because I'm so competitive, before I know it, I'm up on my feet, "At the point," because they have somehow lost all focus and reason, and they're not adding the point. The reason why I and my and others get so animated is because we realize that there's value attached to those points. And if you don't add the point, then our team may lose. And I would show hate for our team to lose because you were so focused on something else and you didn't add the point, you didn't add the right value to what we were doing, and therefore we lost. That's why we're so adamant about "at the point." It makes sense? Okay. Y'all like, where is she going with this? A point. Just so you know, you can write down this definition. A point in a sports game is a mark or unit of scoring, a unit used in measuring value, achievement, or extent, the extent to which you do something. Points are how you keep score. And y'all heard I'm competitive, so score matters to me. Points are how you keep score, how you measure value, achievement, and the extent to which you do something. I'll say it again. Points are how you keep score, how you measure value, achievement, and the extent to which you have done something. So the question I have as we get into today's word is, how are you keeping score in your life? How are you measuring yourself? What kind of unit of measure are you using to measure achievement in your life? What does winning look like for you? Are you applying value to the appropriate things? We are in the First the Kingdom teaching series, and we have been in this now, we're in March, so the last few months now. And I hope that you know by March that the First the Kingdom teaching series is not just a series. Right. It is actually like a mentality and a way of life. Like, ever since we got into this in January, I have been praying every morning over my family and over my husband and over my kids that we all have a First the Kingdom mentality. That my kids have a First the Kingdom mentality, because the scripture told us that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God, let my kids have a mentality that says, let me seek God first and his righteousness, and know that all the other things will be added. All the other things that people associate point value to, and the other things that people value, all that's going to be added. When I place my value in seeking first his kingdom, all these things will be added. It is not just a series. And we're taking a pause right here in this moment in the series to really like calibrate with all of you so that you understand that the kingdom of God has a very different point system. The kingdom of God has a very different value system. Where you place value in the kingdom of God looks very different than where you place value when you were in the other system, which was the world system. Once you enter into the kingdom system, how you add the points is very different than how you added points before. Where you place your value is very different than where you placed it before. Yes, I'm saying this at the risk of sounding redundant, because I need for you to understand that you are now in a new system. And if you don't understand that you are in a new system, you won't know how the point system works, and you won't add the point. And I feel like God is going to be sitting down or sitting in heaven and looking down like us, the parents, saying, add the point. Because you will be so distracted in everything else that is not his system and it is not the kingdom of God, that you will be missing what is valuable to the kingdom of God. And he'll be sitting back like, they got these kids keeping score. Add the point. The title of today's message, if you haven't gotten already, is Add the Point. That's the title of today's message. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time really unpacking what the points system looks like in the kingdom of God, and where points are added and how they're added and what holds weight and value so that you can add the points and so you can win. Because that was the whole thing. Like, I would get so mad sitting there like, oh, they're not going to add the point. They're not going to add the point. And if you don't know, especially, I mean, any sport, but a sport like volleyball, like, every point matters. You play in sets. Like, we could win or lose this set depending on whether or not you are looking and paying attention to the points. In case you didn't know, this thing called life, it matters. And you're going to win or lose based on if you add the point to the appropriate column. So add the point. We are going to go to Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. And Paul is going to be our schoolmaster for today. He is going to help us understand where we should be adding the points, where we should be adding the value, specifically in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, disclaimer, if you are not in the kingdom of God, and that is not where you're seeking to play and win, none of this is going to make sense to you. It's not going to make sense, and it's going to sound like it's stupid. But if you are truly a disciple who wants to make other disciples, and if you are truly invested in the kingdom of God and seeking that first, all of this is going to make sense to you, and you want to make sure you take notes on all of this. So it's Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. And Paul says to the Philippian church, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. One translation says dung, which is crap, basically. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He teaches us four things in here that are going to help us understand and acclimate to what is seen as valuable in the kingdom of God. Okay? So let's unpack just those very powerful verses that we just read. So go back to verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Point number one, and I do have points today. I don't always have points, but I do have points today. I have four of them, so you know, Jordan. I have points today. You can't have a sermon titled Add the Point and not have points, so I have points. Point number one, That stuff don't matter to me anymore. That stuff don't matter to me anymore. And I couldn't think of a more eloquent way to say it other than just that. Paul is teaching us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, that stuff don't matter anymore to me, because he said, whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Paul specifically, just to like contextualize it, he is talking to a church that he established, the Philippian church. He leaves them. Just so y'all know, like most of the letters that he's writing to these churches, he established them and then he would leave, and then he would learn in his absence that something's going left. Like he would learn that they're starting to believe in idols or false gods. They're beginning to worship the sun and the moon, the stars. They're beginning to like something's going wrong, which is why he usually would write them a letter to remind them. So there's that. So specifically for this church, he's writing to them because they are becoming increasingly more impressed by performative religion. Like when he was with them, he taught them that Christ was the foundation, and that you found your hope and your salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's not about wearing certain things, eating certain things. It is about knowing Christ and having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the point. But in his absence, stuff started creeping in, and he's like, y'all are becoming increasingly more impressed by all this like performative stuff. Like people are telling you guys to do stuff, like make sure you're circumcised, because that's how you prove that you love God. And like, if you know, make sure that you're of a certain tribe, because that's how you like. So basically what he was telling them in all the verses up that you didn't read, I didn't have you read, was he was like, they're telling you that it's important to be a Hebrew of Hebrews. Well, I was that. If all the stuff that they're saying, I was all of that. I was circumcised on the eighth day, Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the people of Israel. None of that stuff matters to me anymore. All of that performative religious stuff, basically religious culture, doesn't matter to me anymore, because I've gained Christ. So he's saying that what you're adding value to, how you're keeping points in track over here, I don't add points to that. I add the point over here, which is to have Christ. Like that, that stuff don't matter to me anymore. If I can bring it to this moment here right now, March 3rd, 2024, he was talking about religious culture not mattering anymore. But we can also say the same to just culture in general. Like Paul is like, that stuff that the world cares about, I don't care about that stuff anymore. Like once upon a time, it used to be important for me to have a certain amount of figures that I made, but I don't care about that anymore. Like once upon a time, I was really like bought into having to have a certain amount of followers and all, but I don't care about that anymore. Like once upon a time, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I positioned, you know, myself and my husband on Instagram, and we took all the right, you know, highlights so people would say that we're couples goals. Like, I don't care about that anymore. Like that stuff don't matter to me anymore. You have to get what Paul is saying right now in 2024, because he was giving us the point system. He was giving us where to add value. And what he's saying is, if you're still adding value to that stuff, you're missing the point. We live in a very people-pleasing culture. So most of us get our value from what other people say is valuable. We gonna have an honest, y'all know I don't do honest conversations. Okay, so we get our value from what other people say is valuable. So for example, my husband and I were just having this conversation. There are people who are really impressed and they put a lot of stock in cars. I am not that person. If you enjoy cars, I'm not here to shame you. I'm just saying I'm not that person. Particularly, I don't like car payments. So I am not ever going to really be so much into cars because I hate car payments. I'd rather take that five or six or however many hundred dollars and put it into my house than to put into what I'm driving. That's just me. That's Porsche. I don't put value in cars like that. Now, I will drive a nice car. I like to have a nice car. I want something that has a floor to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to just drive nothing crazy. But I don't put value in cars like that. So much so to when people are talking to me and they're like, oh, yeah, man, I just got that Mercedes MK. LMNOP, you know, series model. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not impressed because I guess I would have to care about that for me to be impressed by what you're saying. And no knock to your Mercedes MK LMNOP G series. I don't know. But I would have to know what that is to be impressed by it. I don't know. And I don't put value in that. Or, sneakers. I know a lot of you are sneakerheads. No problem. This is because, you know, once us ever hear me talking about people's wigs and stuff, I'm gonna go where it really hit home on them shoes. Yeah, on them shoes. I'm not a sneakerhead. So I do like makeup. So we all have our stuff, but I'm not into sneakers. So when people are like, oh man, they got them one retros, I'm like, all right, like, I don't even know, like, I don't know how many numbers there are. I don't know if it goes up to, like, 100. Like, I don't even know where the numbers stop. And then what makes it a retro? Aren't they all? Because Jordan ain't played it forever. Like, so I'm like, I don't know. So the things that are people add value to, they don't mean anything to me, specifically when it comes to shoes or cars. I say this and I'm laughing, but what God is saying to you in this moment is you have to shift your mindset in this first the kingdom living, and you have to be like Paul and say, that stuff don't matter to me anymore. Now, I'm not saying that you can't like shoes or cars, I'm not saying that, but we're talking about points. Points are a unit of measure, of achievement, of value. I'm saying I don't add points to that. I can have it and not add points to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't add value to the fact that I'm driving something that is a G series. Like, I don't add value to that. I add value, like Paul said, to have Christ. That's where I add the point. And God is just concerned that, and as I say, whenever God is concerned, I'm concerned. I share in his concern that if you are still adding points to that stuff, you're going to miss the real value in the kingdom. The kingdom does not see that as valuable. And that's partially why we're having a bit of a mutt, I guess I'll say, in the church, is when you combine a bunch of different breeds of stuff. Because in the church right now, you're trying to mix what the world deems as valuable with what God deems as valuable. And it's making a mutt because that's a hybrid Christian believer, because that's not how it works. The kingdom values these things. The world values these things. They are separate and apart. You can't add points to both columns. You can't, on the volleyball game, you can't say, y'all both win. You can't both win. No, you can. No, you got to add points to this one or you got to add points to that one. And if you find yourself still being lost and enamored by all the things that the world sees as valuable, you need to check yourself if you are saying that you are a kingdom citizen, because we don't add value to those things. We can have those things, but we don't add value to those things. Amen? Amen. So point number one is that stuff don't matter to me anymore. Let's get our second point. We're going to go to verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Point number 2, knowing Jesus is valuable. In the kingdom of God, knowing Jesus is valuable. And I know that that probably sounds like a duh, but it's not. And it sounds like common sense, but y'all know how it goes. Common sense ain't so common. I've even switched it to say they ain't got no good sense, because common sense ain't common, and it's the good sense that's missing. Like, it sounds like it should be, like, obviously, but knowing Jesus is valuable. When you deem something is valuable, you seek to know about it. So think about the world system. I was just talking about that. If you find value in cars, you want to know everything about the car. You want to know the make and the model and where it was first manufactured and how the leather is. And, like, you want to know everything about it. When you care and you know and put value in shoes, you want to know everything about it. You make sure that you know, like, what the numbers are and what the retros are and what the color pattern means for which, like, you want to know about that thing. We oftentimes want to know about celebrities because we find them to be valuable. So we spend a lot of time knowing about who they're dating and how many kids they have and what they like to eat and where they go and how often they're at Nobu. Have y'all ever been to Nobu? I've never been to Nobu. I've never been to California. If they go to Nobu and who they're, like, we spend so much time wanting to know about what we say is valuable to us. So, in contrast with the kingdom, we say Jesus is Lord. But we don't spend a whole lot of time trying to get to know about Jesus. I know how Pastor Wanzel feels when he says, it's quiet and that's okay. It's quiet and it's okay. When you accepted the gift of salvation that was free to you but cost everything to Jesus, part of that confession is declaring that Jesus is Lord. When Jesus is Lord of your life, that means that he is the primary influencer. He is the one who rules and reigns. He guides your decision making. He is your governing body. He is your governor. He dictates what happens and what comes in and out of your life. He is Lord. He is valuable. He is important. So in the kingdom of God, knowing Jesus is valuable simply because he is Lord. Like, you wouldn't want to be a part of a kingdom but you don't know the ruler. Right? Like, if you go over, and it's hard in our Western culture, but, like, go over, like, over the pond, they say, to where they have monarchies and all of that, and kings and queens. Like, they spend time studying their queen and their king, because that's the person who rules the monarch. Like, they have classes. Like, if you go to the schools in Britain, they spend time studying them, because this is Queen Elizabeth. This is King Charles. This is the person who governs our life. This is something that it would be to our detriment not to know who they are when they have that much control over us. Like, they are very invested in knowing who their ruler is. Similarly, so Paul is saying to us today that, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Knowing Jesus is extremely valuable. There's also value in knowing Jesus because not only is he Lord, but if you go over to, or I think it'll be on the screen, Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. I want to know Jesus because he's Lord. I want to add points to that because he's Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 says, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. So I want to know Jesus, one, because he's Lord of this kingdom that I'm a part of. But I also want to know him because in him are found the mysteries of God. So like in Growth Track a couple of weeks ago, and I can't do a visual by myself, but I'll do my best. I'm Jesus, and this is you, and this is God. And you have a relationship with God through Jesus. He is the connective tissue between you and God. You find out the mysteries of God, the depth of God, through Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, you can't know God. Because he's the connective tissue between the two. And what also is happening, and please, by all means, if your silence means that you are either shocked or you are taking in this truth and writing notes, continue to be silent. What has happened in the church, not this church, the church, is that people have taken out Jesus and they're trying to have a relationship that is with God that is absent Jesus. But how could you possibly have a relationship with God through Jesus without Jesus? So now there's a gap, and now there is this disconnect in your relationship with God because Jesus was too strong. He was too strong. He was too strong. My daughter and I talked about this the other day, like, because Jesus was too strong and the blood of Jesus was too strong and that was too old school, we're just going to take out Jesus and let's just keep the God part and let people connect with God. But how can you connect with God without Jesus? And then you talk, then the church said, okay, well, if we keep Jesus, let's just dilute it. We were talking about diluting. And my daughter's in chemistry. And she's like, that makes so much sense because I'm in chemistry. We just learned about dilution. Yeah, basically, something is too strong in its form. So you just add a little bit of something different to it and just add a little bit more. I don't take my back to their drinking days. I didn't drink, but I know like if something's too strong, you add a chaser. You know, you just add a little bit just to make it palatable so that you can be able to still, you know, take it, but only like you just dilute it some. Right. You can't do that. Because in the kingdom, Jesus is Lord. And in the kingdom, you get to know God through Jesus. That's where you add value. And unfortunately, even in the church, we have tried to add value otherwise by backing out Jesus and saying, well, just find value in God. Just to know him. Just to be in relationship with God. You know, or the man upstairs. And like, no, we add value in the kingdom with Jesus. Jesus is the one who connects us to God. I can't try to have a relationship with God without Jesus. So if you have come from a background or you have convinced yourself that I can do this thing without Jesus, you are misinformed. You absolutely have to have Jesus to have God. In him are the mysteries of God found. Then, if you go back to what we just read in Colossians, he said, you get the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. So then, not only is Jesus valuable because he's Lord, because he connects me to God, but he also makes sure that I don't get confused or caught up in stuff that sounds reasonable. That is not. In the kingdom of God, it's very important that there is clarity. Jesus brings clarity. So when you back out Jesus and try to have a relationship with God without Jesus, you get lost to all kind of stuff. You get introduced to all kind of philosophies around God. And, you know, there's many ways to God. There's many ways to God. You know, you can approach him, but you can approach him, you know, through the worship of the stars, because God is in the stars. And you can find God, you know, in the sun, because God created the sun. And matter of fact, I think God is just the universe, because isn't he the one who created the universe? And after all, you know, the universe is the one who, like, that's how you get messed up. That's how you get messed up, because you didn't add the point. You didn't add the value in Jesus, and because Jesus is the one that is the connective tissue and makes sure that this thing stays on track in the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is the kingdom of Jesus. If you don't have him, you will get lost in all kind of stuff. It said here that they would deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. I'm going to move on because I don't want Pastor Wanzel to say I kept y'all too long. But sounds reasonable, meaning that it's not going to sound not reasonable. It's going to sound like it makes sense. Like, I talk to people who you are fully convinced that God is the universe and you can pray to the universe versus saying the name of Jesus, because you have so warped your mind to believe that, like I said, well, he created the universe. So truly, it's like when you're with God, you're like one with the universe, because like God is the universe, like he created the universe. And so like, I really don't even have to go to church, because like when I walk outside my door, like the sun and the moon, the stars are there. So it's like God is around me and God is in me and I am God and God, we are one. It's like, let's stop. You are lying to yourself. You are being deceived. And I don't say that to make fun of anyone who has fallen to deception. I say that because what happened was you didn't add the point to Jesus. And so you're not winning. You're not winning. And as a matter of fact, you are losing because you have added the point to something that is not considered valuable in the kingdom of God. Jesus is valuable in the kingdom of God. And a part of the kingdom of God are the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe and the crystals and all of that. But that's not where we hold our weight. That's why we don't put our stock in that stuff. That stuff don't matter to me anymore. That's a part of it. But I add value in knowing Jesus. Amen. So point number one was that stuff don't matter to me anymore. Point number two was knowing Jesus is valuable. And I'm going to move on. But if you, even as I'm talking, I love the spirit room. Because once you actually have access to it, you get to see all the foolishness that happens that people can't see. Even as I'm talking, it's like, oh my God, that's not, don't. I hear what she's saying, but no, but it's not really that. It's not like that. Like, you don't have to, like, Jesus, he's a thing. And you should definitely know him. But really, like, what you're doing, like, how you just are, like, pursuing after peace and after, you know, God through, like, you know, just really searching yourself and searching for who you are with the universe and making sure that you can align. Stop talking to them while I'm talking, because what I'm saying is the absolute truth. In the name of Jesus, you need Jesus, and you need to know Jesus, because he is the one that rules the kingdom that you are a part of, and he is the one that connects you to the Father that you are so trying to pursue on your own, and he is the one that makes sure that you don't get deceived by these fine-sounding arguments. We are raising up a people that will know God through Jesus. Point number three, let's go back to our original verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Point number three, we're talking about what is valuable in the kingdom of God. Being found in Jesus is valuable. Being found in Jesus is valuable. It's different than point number two, which was knowing Jesus is valuable. Point number three is being found in Jesus is valuable. There's a difference. I will tell you about it now. So Jesus went to the cross, as we all know, and as Cody started to preach about that resurrection and about that Calvary moment that changed everything. He went to the cross, and what he did on the cross, which was die a very brutal death, was for my sins and for your sins. Y'all know this? Okay. With his resurrection, I and you are redeemed from our sins. Meaning that, Cody, you don't have to go now on the cross because he already did it. and he's redeemed you back to the Father. Yes, thank you, Jesus. But you know, one day we're going to get back to having church. Remember, you say that and people just fall out. Like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like, it's gonna bubble up and create a response that it's worthy of, because it's like, I was redeemed. I should have been on the cross. But he took my place on the cross and accounted for all my sins. He did me a huge solid just for the sake of potentially me choosing to be a part of his kingdom. Because it's always a potential that I won't. Because even people in this room, you might decide that I'm hearing all this in the kingdom of God and Pastor Wanzel saying first the kingdom. I don't want to do that. So you might decide you don't want to do that. To which Jesus still died for you, even for your ignorant self and even for yourself that don't want to do him. He still died for you. Okay, so he died for our sins so we can redeem back to the Father. However, we are still unworthy. We are still unrighteous. Every day, we are picking it up and putting it down. Every day, just want to be more like him. And every day, I want to have the first the kingdom mentality. And every day, I want to be more like God. But every day, we are still unrighteous. Now, that doesn't mean keep sinning that grace may abound. That's not what we're saying. But just understand that even in your best efforts to be like him, you will be nothing like him. Your righteousness is still not there. But here's the good news. I am found in him. And it's his righteousness that covers for me. So in the kingdom of God, being found in Jesus is very valuable because it is what covers for us. It is what makes up the difference for us. Now, I'm going to keep trying every day, and I'm going to seek him, and I want to know him, and I want to be more like him. But I know that any given day, every day, I'm still not going to be able to make the mark. But I'm found in him because my righteousness gets covered by his righteousness. That is what is valuable in the kingdom of God. See, you out there trying to still chase the Mercedes element of QOP, right? I'm saying you still trying to make sure that you got on the twos and the whatever. But like in the kingdom of God, this is where the valuable stuff is. This is what it is like to know that I'm not righteous, but his righteousness covers me. And I'm found in him because of his righteousness. That's the valuable stuff. And I told y'all at the beginning of this, some of y'all are going to hear this and be like, I still am going to chase the bag. Like, I hear you, but I'm still going to chase the bag. And that's okay. That would be a choice. Everyone, let me say in HR, everyone has choice points. That's a choice point. And so that's fine. But understand that you cannot say that you don't know where to add the points. And you are not learning under good teaching at TMC where to add the points. So to be found in him, that was the third point. Being found in Jesus is valuable. That's where I add the points. Think about it like this. Because I just can't be righteous enough. His righteousness covers me. It's like going back to sports. I told you I was competitive. There are teams that are just undersized. Like, I really like Golden State. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I'm still a fan, even though they're struggling. But what continues to be said is that they're just undersized. They just need to add some size. If they add some size to them, they'll be able to go further. Jesus is how we add size. So, like, without him, I am unmatched. I am outmatched. Without him, my righteousness does not qualify me for anything. I'm undersized, but he comes in, I add him to the team, and now I have the size that's needed to be able to win. Now you see why it's so important to add points to knowing Jesus and to being found in Jesus, because that's how I get the size on my team that I need to win. And you know I want to win. Because I already told y'all how I feel about competition. I'm not doing anything to lose. I don't wake up every day and approach anything with the perspective of mediocrity. I don't want to do anything just because I want to win. And I might only know a couple people in the room, or maybe only a couple people in the room are like that with me, that you actually want to win. So, like, I'm not just doing this thing called life and waking up every day just so I can say I'm living. I want to be made alive in Christ, and I want to win. And if not for Jesus, or without Jesus, I can't win because I'm undersized. I think about also being found in Jesus is having this greater force, this greater being, this Lord, who, when people see you, they see him because you're found in him. And it gives you a competitive advantage. Because y'all said, I'm competitive. So I'm always looking for a competitive advantage. He is my competitive advantage. So, like, I'll say this example. My husband and I always had a rule with our kids when they were in, especially in elementary school, even now, so, but especially in elementary school. You know, elementary school, they're so little. They're like, you know, this high off the ground, and they're so cute, and their backpacks are bigger than them, and you know, they're just little things, and they're just so fragile. But we had a rule that if ever they found themselves in a situation where they needed to go to an administrator's office, they need to call us. If they're the person who did the wrong, and they're asking to write a statement, or if they're just a witness to the statement, or witness of the incident, and they want them to write a witness statement, you need to call us. And the reason why we have that is for a variety of reasons, but most importantly, I'm not gonna have my five-year-old, who is this high off the ground, sitting in an office with adults who, even if they're only 5'7", are much taller than my kid, sitting in a room with an adult, potentially two adults, sometimes three, because depending on the nature of whatever happened at school, they want to have a full investigation, and they want to have all these people involved and adults and parties. I'm not going to have my kids sitting in a room this high off the ground with all of these people who have this intimidation factor to them, and they sitting there trying to just figure it out on their own. So we would say, especially in elementary school, if they ever ask you to write a statement, say, I can't write it until I call my dad or my mom. And then they would have to wait to write it, and we would make sure that we could write it. They could write it at a time that worked with our schedules. We can do it tomorrow morning, and we get there in the morning, and then we sit there, and you write the statement, but we sit here because you're found in me. And so when they are talking to you and asking you questions and doing things that are, in a lot of instances, very intimidating for a child, they're here in the room, but you look at me. You make sure that you see that they have representation in this room, and it's much bigger than them, and it's added size to them, and that's what they're being found in. Y'all get the connection? So that way you can win. That way you're not outmatched. This is why being found in Jesus is so huge in the kingdom of God. And I'm gonna move on, but it's such a huge point, because y'all are missing, if you don't do it, you're missing your size, you're missing your representation, you're missing what goes before you and what covers you and what overcomes for you. Like you're missing all of that. That's why Paul says, to be found in him, not a righteousness of my own, but his righteousness. I see that as valuable. And all the other things that used to matter and that used to hold weight for me, that doesn't matter anymore, because being found in him is huge. Okay. Some of this stuff will hit y'all once you get home. Let's go over the points before we get the last one. Point number one. That stuff don't matter to me anymore. Point number two, knowing Jesus is valuable. Point number three, being found in Jesus is valuable. Let's get our last point at verse 10. Verse 10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Point number four, knowing the power of his resurrection is a game changer. Knowing the power of his resurrection is a game changer. Knowing the power of Jesus' resurrection doesn't just add the point. It changes the entire game. Cody, you started to go there. You started to go there earlier. I'm gonna take it to the finish line. Unfortunately, and when I say we, I don't mean TMC, I mean the collective body of Christ, have done a huge disservice to God and a huge disservice to you by only talking about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Man, what a miss. Talk about at the point. Like, the resurrection, y'all. All right. Okay. Colossians chapter 2. I meant to say this earlier. I'm reading NIV for all of this. But Colossians chapter 2, I didn't put it on the screen because it's a lot that we're about to read. Don't lose focus. Don't start thinking about lunch. Listen as I'm reading this. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. And if you have been filled with him who is the head over every ruler and authority, you were also circumcised in him with a circumcision that is not done with hands. By putting off the body of the flesh and the circumcision of Christ, here it is, y'all. When you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave all your trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with all of his obligations that was against us and opposed us, and he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. The resurrection story is not just the story of Jesus' resurrection. It is the story of your resurrection. It is your resurrection story. Because everything that we just read was not just, first of all, past tense, but it was not just about Jesus. It was the forgiveness of your sins and the resurrection of you. Like, listen. The resurrection story should not be limited to Easter Sunday. That's how you get value in the kingdom. Like, that is the point. It's not just at a point. That is the point. When you understand the power of his resurrection and the fact that it said in here that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. You said it, Cody. They was over there like, we got him. He's in the ground, that imposter. Then he rose and just publicly embarrassed all of them. He publicly embarrassed the devil that tries to embarrass you. The devil that talks to you and tells you you're not good enough. He has been publicly embarrassed. The one who says that marriage won't work out because he's been publicly embarrassed. And disarmed and triumphed over. Jesus, that is a game changer. And if you only talk about that game changing moment in March or April, depending on where it lands, you are so missing the point of the kingdom of God. You have not only, a bully is only as effective as he is. A bully is only as effective as you are afraid and not knowledgeable. Don't y'all watch, like, have y'all watched those shows? Bully's different now. You know, everybody's a bully now, and cyberbullying and all the other stuff. But like back in the day, like the true, like, identifiable bully in the show that, like, I think about, like, Everybody Hates Chris. I think to myself, like, you had friends. If at minimum you had Greg, like, between the two of y'all, how did you let this dude, like, run over y'all all the time? But because you were afraid and you weren't knowledgeable. Which that goes back to our other point about knowing Christ and being found in him. Because when you understand that, and then you also understand the power of his resurrection, there is no way. There is no way that I'm going to let you sling me around like this. To know him and know the power of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, the disarming that he did on the cross. That's where the value is. You want to make it more present day? I'll do this and then I'll close, Jordan. I'll close because I'm not going to be, if you don't start playing, I won't close. I'll stay right here so you can start playing. I need closing music. I won't leave this point. She's like, okay. The power of his resurrection. He disarmed all darkness. He triumphed over it. He publicly embarrassed it. So I think about, and I shared this a little bit with y'all a few weeks back, but about panic attacks. And okay, so I'm going to give y'all the origin story of the panic attacks. So 2013, I go and I take ibuprofen, which I'd always taken ibuprofen for headaches. And when I took it this time, though, what I did not know is that I had developed a severe allergy to NSAID drugs, to include ibuprofen. And I had a really bad headache, so I had taken like 4. Don't do that. I'm not supposed to do that. I took way too many. I think you should say like 2. I had really bad headaches. I took like 4. And so not only was I allergic to this medication now, but I'd taken a lot of it. So I am in the living room, and I can feel my life leaving me. Like, I can feel anaphylaxis. Like, I can feel, like, stuff starting to close up. And I could feel, like, the room starting to get, like, very blurry. Like, I'm gonna pass out. And so my husband's there. I literally say, like, my kids are there. I'm like, take them out, get them out. Like, I could feel like I'm leaving. And my husband calls the ambulance, but they never get there fast enough. And so it's probably like maybe only 3 or 4 minutes before they get there, but I can feel death. I can feel it, like, pulling me, like, you're coming, like, this is your time. And all I could say is, the blood of Jesus, 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 the blood of Jesus. And like, my husband is watching me. I'm like, I'm literally like doing this, and I'm like, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I can feel things shutting down. I'm like, the blood of Jesus, 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 the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And I'm just repeating it. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I did not die that, spoiler, I did not die that day. I was not unalived that day because of the blood of Jesus. Because I, in my own strength, I had none. But when death heard the blood of Jesus, it was reminded of Jesus, the one who had already visited the grave, had taken all power from it, and triumphed over it. So therefore, even though death was literally pulling me, the blood of Jesus was sustaining me because again, this is where y'all, if y'all aren't adding value to the right stuff, you are missing it. The value in knowing Jesus and being found in Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is that I didn't have to try to fight death on my own. Because if I was trying to fight death on my own, it would have snatched me. But when I said the blood of Jesus, 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 it was reminded, it was put on notice that that's the same one that came down and snatched all of our power. And so even though I want to take her right now, the blood of Jesus is holding me back because I can't touch her because of the blood of Jesus. Ever since that moment, I started having panic attacks. Whenever I would get hot, or whenever I would hear an ambulance go by, or whenever I would just feel not good in myself, like I just would start to, I would immediately go back to that moment, and I would just say, and I would just feel like I couldn't breathe. And it didn't happen every day. It would happen like every few months or so. And I would get... I would feel like just like death on my neck. Like trying to just like... to hang me out. But the last time I told y'all... And I would just like try to like calm myself down. But the last time that it happened, which was the last time that would happen, yeah. I went back to the first time and I was like, it was in my kitchen and I was like, the blood of Jesus. Because meanwhile, like as you're trying to calm yourself down, you hear like you're gonna die. And I just kept saying, the blood of Jesus. And I started singing our worship songs. And I was like, Jesus. And it left. And it won't come back. It won't come back. Because now that it knows that I know. That you were only as powerful as I was not knowledgeable. That the blood of Jesus makes you stop every time. That the name of Jesus makes you fall back every time. And now that you know, that I know, that that is the antidote. You won't come for me. Because I'm found in him. Because I know him.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's Word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.